You will hear a number of different recordings, and you have to answer questions on what you hear. There'll be time for you to read the instructions and questions, and you have a chance to check your work. All the recordings will be played only once. The test is in 4 sections. At the end of the test, you will be given 10 minutes to transfer your answers to your answer sheet. Now turn to Section 1. Section 1. You'll hear a conversation between a student and a salesman. First, you have some time to look at questions 1 to 10. Now listen carefully and answer questions 1 to 10.
Good morning, is that Copewell Insurance? I'd like to ask you a few questions about getting insurance.
Certainly. What kind of insurance are you looking for?
Well, I'm a student and I need comprehensive cover. You know, against theft, damage, legal problems.
I see. Students are unfortunately attractive targets for thieves. Student accommodation is a particular target because it often contains several highly portable and valuable items such as laptops. We offer cover specially designed for the needs of students, covering students in several key areas.
Oh, that sounds like it's exactly what I need. Please tell me more.
Well, the first area we cover is room contents. We provide insurance cover for your belongings on a new for old basis, including desktop computers against theft, burst pipes, fire vandalism, storm and flood.
Does that also cover me if I live in university accommodation?
Yes, it does. It also covers any shared areas in your accommodation and anything you leave in locked storage on campus at any time.
Is there a limit on claims of this nature?
Yes, there is. Individual items are limited to £2,000 per claim, and the following items are limited to £600 per group per claim. Valuables, musical instruments, and any data storage devices apart from computers, such as CDs, DVDs, cassettes, and computer games. Clothes are limited to a maximum of £250. However, cover for items above these amounts is available for an additional premium.
I see. And how about accidental damage?
We cover contents against accidental damage occurring while they are in your rooms, and we cover replacement keys and locks, up to £150 if you lose your keys.
Does this cover items that I leave in my accommodation during holidays?
Yes, it does, but the limit is lower, up to £3,000 in total, and there is only cover for up to 35 days. That is if the rooms are unoccupied continuously for 35 days.
I understand. Am I also covered against theft whilst travelling?
Yes, you are. I should also point out that your mobile phone is fully covered and the insurance covers any airtime abuse by the thief up to £150.
Great. What about legal and health problems?
Your legal expenses are covered up to £50,000 for defending claims against you, for claiming against other people for damage or injury they cause you, and tenancy disputes. The last one is particularly useful for students. Course fees you have paid or are liable to pay in the academic year, up to £5,000 in total, are also covered. If as a result of your illness, death or accident, you have to leave your course early, or if a parent on whom you rely for financial support suffers illness or redundancy.
That sounds very comprehensive indeed. Does the special introductory rate still apply? It says here that it's valid until the end of June.
Yes, it's still valid. There have been no changes in the terms of the offer. Can I just mention that the following extra cover is automatically included free of charge in all our policies? Our 24-hour helpline, providing advice and counselling on health, drugs, debt, housing, legal and welfare matters, cover for your personal legal liability of up to £1 million, loss or damage to property on loan to you, up to £500. Loss or damage to your landlord's property, up to £5,000. credit card theft, up to £500, injury and damage to possessions by mugging or assault, up to £5,000, and accidental death of a parent or guardian, £5,000.
That's exactly what I'm looking for. A fully comprehensive package. I'll come to your office this afternoon. Should I come to see you personally, or...?
You can ask for me. My name is Stevens.
Right. My name is Shipton. Annie Shipton.
Okay, I'll see you this afternoon. We normally close the office at 5, but I'll be here until 6 today.
Thank you. I should make it before then. Goodbye.
Goodbye. That is the end of section 1. You now have half a minute to check your answers. Now turn to section 2. Section 2. You will hear a lecture. First, you have some time to look at questions 11 to 20. Now listen carefully and answer questions 11 to 20.
Welcome to the university. We consider ourselves to be one of the UK's most progressive and innovative universities. We pride ourselves on making a difference to our students, our staff, and to the businesses we work with. Our research and business ideas, alongside our highly sought-after graduates, contribute to the economic and social development of both our region and to the UK as a whole. Our teaching method and staff are first rate and are supported by our world-class applied research. Our students are a diverse group and benefit from a tailored approach that helps them to get the most from their studies. Currently, 13% of all our students are mature and 9% are from outside the UK. Both of these figures are significantly higher for postgraduate students. We offer top-quality teaching and learning facilities and the ability to learn flexibly in a way that best suits their needs. For example, we are one of the UK's leading universities in e-learning and offer a range of distance learning and part-time courses, as well as the more traditional full-time courses. Our partners in industry choose to cooperate with because of our flexible, business-led approach and our high-quality research, facilities and students. Our partners include Sony, BP, the NHS, Network Rail, Cisco, SAP and Microsoft. Our facilities are state-of-the-art and we have invested heavily in new technology over the last 15 years, in order to ensure that our technological capability matches the cutting-edge approach of our teaching. We are recognised as a centre of excellence for teaching and learning, e-learning and employability. Our university plays a key role in the city and region in which it operates. We are located in both heart of Newtown and in its leafy suburbs, and our 28,000 students add to the vibrancy and diversity of the city. Let me tell you a little about our campuses. Right in the heart of Newtown's busy city centre is the university's City Campus, a welcoming modern environment with some of the finest learning and teaching facilities in Europe. Around this hub revolves a flourishing, diverse academic community. Our second campus, only a couple of miles away, is a complete contrast. The tranquil Academia campus is set among lawns and trees in one of Newtown's leafiest suburbs. Just as typical of this city, England's greenest, as the bustling city centre. In May 2005, we opened the impressive Health and Wellbeing Building at Academia Campus. The £15 million Beacon for Health and Social Care Education was officially opened by our University Chancellor, Professor Hall, and provides world-class facilities for our health and social care students. Plans for further development of both campuses are already well advanced, with the university planning to replace its third campus at Salt Lane with a new home for the Faculty of Computing, Engineering and Sciences at City Campus. It's not only the university environment that's popular with students. The city of Newtown is a big attraction too. Home to two universities with more than 50,000 students, plus Europe's largest further education college and the headquarters of LearnDirect, Newtown is very much a learning city. It's one of the country's most in-demand student destinations. And once they arrive, students enjoy the Newtown experience so much that a higher proportion stay on to live and work here than in any other city outside London. Now, with regard to accommodation, our accommodation services offer a friendly free service to help you find the right place to live in Newtown. They have an office in the Student Union building, but they also have a website which provides details of all our catered and self-catered residences and a searchable private housing database. The university guarantees to offer all first-year students accommodation of a reasonable standard in university-owned accommodation or in the private sector. On the website, we have also tried to answer some of the most frequently asked questions and provide some useful help, advice and information on how to apply for accommodation. If you can't find the information you're looking for on our website, go into the office where our staff are happy to answer any questions you may have, or you can contact them by phone, fax or email. The university is sensitive to the accommodation needs of individuals and provides both single-sex accommodation and accommodation that is suitable for students with disabilities and special requirements. We also cater to the needs of mature and international students.
That is the end of section 2. You now have half a minute to check your answers. Now turn to Section 3. Section 3. You will hear a conversation. First, you have some time to look at questions 21 to 30. Now listen carefully and answer questions 21 to 30.
Okay, everyone. We've been asked to think of the characteristics of good teachers and those of good learners. Mike and myself volunteered to look at the former, whilst Janet and Tim took on the latter. Mike, you've got our list.
Okay, everyone. This is what Cindy and I came up with. First, the teacher needs to be a good communicator. The teacher needs to be able to speak clearly and to explain what things mean. Taking this idea a bit further, the teacher should have an interesting voice. Schoolwork is often boring enough without having a teacher with a boring voice.
Yes, the teacher should sound interested in the subject. This might help the students to be a bit more lively and interested.
We also thought that a good teacher should get to know his or her students. We don't mean that he or she should try to make friends with the students. That's generally considered a bad idea at primary and secondary schools. We mean that the teacher needs to know something of their backgrounds and their interests.
The third thing is that a good teacher must know his or her subject inside out at the required level. It would be a disaster if the students knew more than the teacher. This means that the teacher must be well trained and fully familiar with the curriculum, not only at the current level he or she is teaching, but also at the previous levels, so that he or she knows what the students already know.
Or at least should know. You could say that a good teacher is aware that what is taught is not always the same as what is learnt.
Good point, Janet. Our next point is that a good teacher pulls you up one step at a time. They see that the gap between where you are and where you need to go is small enough to breach, so you can move up steadily, one step at a time, but large enough to signify true, real progress. Another thing is that teachers are guides, sometimes even role models for students. Much of one's character is shaped by the teachers, so as a good teacher, you must be honest and be patient. In addition, a good teacher must dress tidily, so as to set an example and to look professional.
So, Janet and Tim, over to you.
Well, we come up with a whole list of things. First, a good student is active. This encompasses a wide range of things, not only getting on with the work assigned to them. For example, a good student will ask questions, particularly when they don't understand something, or for confirmation. He or she is motivated to learn and has study goals, either general goals, such as getting into university, or specific goals for things that he or she wishes to learn in the next month. A good student is disciplined. Now, we don't just mean good behaviour. We mainly mean that he or she has the discipline to stick to a good study routine. This includes reviewing and previewing work. Tim will tell you what else we thought of.
We also thought that a good learner focuses on finding reasons why to do something, not on reasons not to do something. Poor students usually tend to offer the immediate response, but, yeah, I've seen that a lot. Haven't we all? A good student is aware that learning often happens days or months later. It is not always linear, and it is not always immediate. He or she sees learning as a long-term project, rather than modulizing, if you like, into clusters of to-dos, example. Preparation for an exam. Many students will not do anything until about 2 weeks before a test, and then cram. Then they wonder why they didn't do well. Exactly. Any other ideas?
I think that a good student doesn't criticize teachers who have seen it all and done it all, and actually have a better idea of what students need.
Nor do good students blame a teacher for his or her own lack of application. He or she accepts suggestions and tries to incorporate them into their learning.
I think that the key point is that a good student sets up his or her learning to be enjoyable. That is the end of section 3. You now have half a minute to check your answers. Now turn to section 4. Section 4. You will hear a presentation on writing an academic essay. First, you have some time to look at questions 31 to 40. Now listen carefully and answer questions 31 to 40. Welcome to this first presentation on writing an academic essay. A university essay can be thought of as an extended answer to a quite specific question that has been posed by your lecturer. A key consideration for lecturers when they mark students' work is whether the essay before them is relevant. That is, whether it does in fact provide an answer to the question being posed. For this reason, it is important, when you prepare to work on an essay, that you spend a reasonable amount of time reading and mulling over the essay topic so that you understand precisely what is being asked. This involves identifying and thinking about key words in the topic. Among other things, this tutorial on essay writing is based on the following topic. In the last 20 years, rates of divorce have risen significantly in Western countries. Critically analyze some of the different explanations given for this phenomenon. In your discussion, you should consider what implications these explanations might have for social policy. Implication is a common term. Implications can be thought of as a set of ideas that follow on in some logical sense from a preceding set of ideas. In the case of this essay, the preceding set of ideas are the explanations for rising divorce. What is required then is that students consider what social policies might follow on from each of the different explanations considered. Note that the word phenomenon refers here to rising divorce. This means that the essay will need to be concerned with explaining why divorce rates have risen. Different explanations suggest that different analysts have come up with a variety of reasons for this happening. To critically analyze means to assess the value of some entity with respect to its strengths and weaknesses. This entity may be a theory, a policy, an argument, a piece of research, etc. In the case of this essay topic, what needs to be evaluated are the different explanations given for rising divorce. This proposition is central to the essay topic. Clearly, the essay will need to be concerned in a general sense with the subject of rising divorce. It is also important to note those terms which limit the subject in some way. In this case, to a particular place, Western countries, and to a particular time, the last 20 years. I asked three different students spent some time analysing the divorce essay topic. On the following three slides, you can read each of their interpretations of the topic. After reading each, decide whether you think it is a reasonable interpretation of the topic. This slide shows student A's analysis. This essay topic is about divorce in Western countries. I would look in detail at statistics for divorce in various countries. I would then turn to the effects of divorce, as discussed by various sociologists. I would describe the effects divorce is thought to have on parents and on children. Then I would consider what social policy solutions there are for the problems arising from divorce. Student B wrote, "For this essay, I would focus on why rates of divorce have increased in Western countries. To answer this question, I would give my own critical explanation, focusing on what I know from experience are the reasons why couples choose to divorce. I would then interview a number of divorced people I know, asking them what the reasons were for the breakdown of their marriage. I would then consider current social policies relating to divorce and find out how well the people I interview have coped since they were divorced." And this slide tells us what student C wrote. "This topic states that divorce has risen in Western countries. First, I would want to find out if this is the case by looking at statistics from a number of countries. Assuming that the proposition is true, I would then look at a variety of accounts given by sociologists for this increase. For each of these, I would consider how adequate an explanation it is. The topic seems to imply that rising divorce is a phenomenon that needs to be addressed by policymakers. I would then think about what sort of social policy positions might follow on from each explanation." Having read the three interpretations, in your opinion, which seems the most reasonable interpretation? Ah, yes, I think you've got the answer. Of the three interpretations, student 3's would be closest to what is required. The student is proposing to comment on the adequacy of a range of sociological explanations for divorce, i.e., critical analysis, and then to consider what types of social policy would follow on from her explanations. i.e., implications. That is the end of section 4. You now have half a minute to check your answers. That is the end of the listening test, the IELTS test. You now have 10 minutes to transfer your answers to the listening answer sheet.